B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Designed and drawn up to at least get the running back to the safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a perfect world, that's exactly how it would be. If everybody went up and blocked their guys and took on who they were supposed to take on, you're getting the running back to the safety. So you go through practice and you don't get challenged, you're always to the safety. But then now you're in a situation where, hey, these guys are really fighting back now. Yeah. And your guy, this particular person, you had one play where Dallas didn't make it to his linebacker. So the linebacker hits the hole and then bam, now you have a loss. So you start seeing how that actually plays out, and you kind of adjust it from there. But you got Miles that's still on this college timing a little bit, where he's like, look, I got to just go outrun everybody.
Right.
Instead
right.
of having that happen. Patience and waiting on the block to make it happen.
And right. I think one of the ways that this here's if I'm Doug Peterson and if he was speaking honestly, here's what he would say. Jordan Howard's going to get more carries, but I love Miles Sanders. Like, I really think that's how he feels, and that's why we're always hearing Miles Sanders, Miles Sanders. And when somebody asks about Jordan Howard, I think, yeah, football-wise, I got to give it to Jordan Howard, but I love Miles Sanders. I think he loves the big playability, and he's kind of addicted to it.
No, I think so, too. I think that's a good way to put it. I think that's where the direction he tried going into yesterday. With a little, not as much emphasis on how much he loved Miles Sanders, but how much he's coming along, I guess.
Yeah.
And learning from Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. To help us understand everything with the Philadelphia Eagles a little bit further, from Bleeding Green Nation, right now, Michael Kist joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's going on, Michael?
Brother, it is Victory Tuesday. We're keeping the party going all week. How are you guys doing?
I wish there was more of a party here, Michael, because everything that happens with this game when trying to analyze it always defaults to, yeah, well, it was the Jets, so it's kind of that vibe in Philly right now, unfortunately.
It wasn't the highest quality win, and it wasn't the prettiest blowout, but it was a blowout nonetheless. Yeah, the offense sputtered a little bit. If it's going to happen, why not then? Overall, the offense has been very efficient and putting up a lot of points. The defense showed some turnover ability. That's fantastic. And 10 sacks. So it's hard to complain when, especially the defensive side of the ball, which is the biggest worry for the Eagles right now, steps up and does what they should do and more. So there are reasons to be excited about this team. You got to see them play against a real quarterback, but positive takeaways for the most part.
Yeah, and it feels like most people, though, the takeaway I have is it's a product of the modern NFL. Your defense went out there and exceeded expectations. I mean, they dominated, but they, like, super dominated this game. The offense just left a lot to be desired in this one, so there you go. It doesn't feel like that big of a win.
Yeah, and that's true, and I think some of the feeling about this being a blowout game the entire way and Vegas having such a big line was because of Luke Falk, who was starting for the Jets. It got extrapolated out onto the Jets defense, which has actually been a decent to above average unit overall, and gave some interesting looks to the Eagles early on that kind of confused them. Greg Williams is known for disguising his blitzes and everything like that, and they were able to get some decent push and kind of disrupt the timing and rhythm of the passing game. So there's that to work on for sure. But as far as, like, am I even close to hitting the panic button on the offensive performance? No, not at all. This team has shown that it can put up points against very good defenses like it did against Green Bay. So I think it's a bunch ado about nothing, and the defense should be lauded for its performance. And if the offense comes out next week and scores on its first drive, everybody's going to forget about this.
So, speaking with Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, so my only concern, though, and I'm not hitting the panic button by any means, but I do have some concern that if the Vikings are hitting a stride in their passing game, and they can run the ball very well with Dalvin Cook, even though the Eagles have been great against the run, can this offense keep up with that offense if this game goes to shootout mode in Minnesota?
Yeah, I think they can keep pace in a boat race. I think the big issue is not getting into a boat race, and I think it might be that because of the way that the Vikings offense is constructed. And you look at their first drive against the Giants, we'll tell you everything you need to know about the Vikings offense. They went play action boot, toss with Cook, and then they set up a play action boot screen to Cook. So you're going to get a lot of screen game action that's going to give the Eagles problems. Play action has been a big bugaboo for the Eagles this year. Before the Jets game, I think they were giving up a 133 quarterback rating to play action concepts. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings run at the seventh most in the league. So that's going to be something that they have to tighten up. Maybe they should loosen up on committing to stopping the run so much and, you know, allow their linebackers and their safeties to get in the coverage and overlap their zones a little bit better. So I do agree that this Vikings offense, while they are kind of helter-skelter, I think they can be a bit of a problem for the defense.
Now, you think that this offense can stay keep up in a shootout without DeSean Jackson being in this lineup?
No, I don't necessarily, what are we calling a shootout? Is it 40 to 34? Is it 31 to 28? Because I think either way, the Eagles offense can be efficient. And you look to their drive against the Packers, that 8-play, 76-yard drive, where it was like vintage 2017 Eagles. It was play action from under center and under center runs, and the RPO quick game got going. And it was a lot of they had a good screen schemed up there as well. So there was a lot of things that they had success with in maintaining efficient drives back in 2017. So that'll shorten the game up a little bit if that's the kind of drive that you want. Carson Wentz has been really good in the pre-snap phase at dialing up shots, not just to DeSean, but, you know, he dialed up one to Aguilar in the Lions game that didn't go for a touchdown because there was defensive pass interference, which was a smart move by the defender. But, you know, they can dial up shots. They can be efficient. They've shown to be one of the, I think they're like top eight in efficiency for the amount that they score touchdowns on their drives. So I don't see any issues with the Eagles just like falling way behind in this game.
Michael, Sidney Jones didn't play last week. He was dressed but didn't play, and you had Craig James in there. You go against Thielen and Diggs this week. What do you think the starting backfield is going to look like for that defense for the Eagles?
It's trouble. It's, no matter how you slice it, I think Rasul Douglas is playing some really good football, and I think for the first time in his career has strung together some solid starts. So that's a plus. And I think the Eagles, of course, being light on their cornerback depth, they're going to have Orlando Scandrick in there as well, who showed to be a really good blitzer against the Jets, which I don't think anybody really expected. And Jim Schwartz was dialing up some blitzes with him, which was interesting. But like you said, the main concern is how do you deal with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, and I don't think the Eagles necessarily have the guys that can do that. So again, as I mentioned before, with the play action with the Vikings, they might have to commit a little bit less to the run and hope they don't get gashed that way, but then allow them to play more too high safety looks and give some help to those corners. So maybe they can trail a little bit more. Maybe they can get some overlapping zones over the top and they can kind of play it both ways. So I think it's going to have to be more schematically giving help to those corners and those corners just holding one-on-one on an island. Because if you ask them to do that, I think the Eagles are in big trouble.
Speaking of the corners, Rasul Douglas, I mean, forget about just Eagles standards. He's been a pretty good corner for you all year. I mean, I think by far the best on the Eagles roster for the entire season. Week one struggled a little bit, but since then has been a solid corner. What have you made of Rasul Douglas season so far?
Yeah, I mean, this is the most consistent stretch that we've seen from him for a while. And there were people were wondering last year why he wasn't getting a chance. And when he came in, he kind of made some mental errors. I think he's cleaned up a lot of that with his game to where he's extremely sound. And look, I don't care if my corner gives up some yards. If they give me turnovers, then that's fantastic. I'll take that all day. And Rasul has fantastic ball skills. Hasn't really shown out. Hasn't had the opportunity to do so this season. But when he gets a chance, the guy makes big plays. So I love having a guy like that out there. He's a long corner. You know, when he's in the pocket of the wide receiver, he's physical. He can bump guys. He can squeeze guys to the sideline. Like, there was a lot of hype about these different corners coming into the season. Well, you know, we're getting Darby back and Sidney Jones, and they just haven't been healthy. Unfortunately, Avante Maddox picks up a knock because Andrew Sandejo comes flying in. But overall, I think Rasul, very quietly, deserves a lot more praise for how he's playing this season.
Absolutely. Speaking with Michael Kiss of Bleeding Green Nation on the Comcast Business Hotline, I know completion percentage isn't necessarily all the rage, but does it give you any concern that Carson Wentz has the second worst completion percentage in the NFL?
No, I mean, that's sometimes a product of scheme, sometimes a product of having the most drops in the NFL. And I know even if you add some of those drops back in, it still doesn't look all that great. But, you know, that's a data point. And there are several different data points that you look at and you kind of take the whole picture. And I think for the most part, even with the yards per attempt down, even with the completion percentage down, I think Carson's done a pretty good job of running an efficient and effective offense. I think his accuracy has been a little bit a scattershot at times, but he's not missing like large volumes of throws or clustering bad throws together. I think overall he's done a good job of running the offense. The offense has been scaled back as well with Deshaun not being in there. And I think from a mental perspective, I think we've seen a lot of improvement from Carson, not only in the pre-snap phase, but in the post-snap phase. You know, I mentioned against Greg Williams, a lot of disguises. He ran coverage disguises as well. Carson did a good job not taking the cheese and whatnot. So I think mentally he's locked in. So overall, I'm not too concerned.
Michael, give me a quick little breakdown on these three guys, and I'm talking wide receivers. Aguilar, Ortega-Whiteside, and Mac Hollins. Where are they right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty far away. If I were to have to say who's probably playing the best ball, it would surprisingly, and I don't think anybody would have called this, it would be Mac Hollins, and he's done a decent job on the outside and appears to have the best chemistry with Wentz right now, because it doesn't seem like Aguilar and Wentz are on the same page all of the time. And Aguilar has been really struggling with whatever role they asked him to do. They asked him to be an underneath wide receiver, and that hasn't worked out because he's not a good yak guy. He's not a good yards after catch guy, despite his speed and everything. And downfield, you know, he struggles against contact. So he's struggling in that area. And of course, he's had the big time drops as well. So, I mean, Aguilar always bounces back. I think the problem is, he always has to bounce back. And in his rookie year, he just kind of got in that hole. And it's nice to see him to have the confidence to come back, but he hasn't been productive in the past couple of games. JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Ortega-Whiteside, he was always going to be a little bit of a project, kind of in that Alshon mode. You hate to see him have that drop against the Lions. Overall, I think we're very far from seeing exactly what J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is at this point. And I think chemistry between him and Wentz with the type of receiver that he is, that's going to take a little bit to develop as well. So I'm not too worried about him. But Mac's been impressive, man.
Well, speaking with Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, help us figure out what this all means with Miles Sanders, please, Michael. Because he apparently is liking tweets with people suggesting different plays for him. What's going on there?
Yeah, and it's a weird criticism. So basically what happened was somebody put on Reddit that, you know, the Eagles always run Miles Sanders on these shotgun concepts where he's going left to right, you know, to the outside, and they're getting stopped, and it's not his fault. I mean, when you look at the runs that he's had in the past couple of weeks, I just ran through them before I came on the show, only five of about a little over 20 runs were from shotgun, doing that, you know, that lateral east-west sweep type run that the Eagles like. And three of them against the Packers were really effective. Against the Packers, the first one, they had a literal hash-to-hash hole for Sanders, and Sanders didn't make the first guy miss in the hole. Whose fault is that? I mean, you have to take some responsibility for yourself at some point and stop pointing fingers, because you're not making guys miss in space. And I get it. You might be frustrated with the way that, you know, he's being used, but at the same time, I don't think there's enough there for him to say, well, I'm only being used like this and I want to be used like this. And look, if you don't like being used that way, that's for the meeting room. That's not for social media. Mm-hmm. Go to Deuce and say, hey, I really want to get north-south, man. I'm having some issues with, and this is my own personal opinion coming in here. He's having some issues with some reads when they give him multi-read options on his running plays. You can see that the hamster wheel is turning really fast, and it's not great for his game because he's thinking too much. The game hasn't slowed down for him yet. That's fine. He's an inexperienced rookie. We get it. But, you know, if he wants to get more north-south concepts, like the wham concept that they ran against the Packers that went for 30 yards, where he doesn't have to think at all. He just says, I'm running the B-gap rail. I'm running off Goddard's butt. I'm gonna light a match off of his butt, and I'm gone. Then, yeah, fine. Tell Deuce that. Don't put it on social media.
Yeah.
And it's an inaccurate representation of what the reality of how you're being used is. So I have a lot of issues with it. I don't think it's a big deal. But come on, man. Like, be a professional.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Stop trying to BS
Michael's Mike. Fired up.
Yeah, stop trying to BS Michael Kist. You can't get one by him. Michael, they got three games on the road now, and none of them are against the Jets, unfortunately. But they got at Minnesota now. They got at Dallas. They got at Buffalo. How do you see the Eagles doing in the next three games?
Yeah, Minnesota's tough. I'm starting to, as I break down their film, I'm starting to get a Detroit Lions vibe from that game, which is not good because, as you might know, The Eagles lost that game.
I remember.
Yeah, I think we all do. Dallas is a paper tiger, and a lot of people were touting Kellen Moore as the next revolutionary going into the league. That's been shown to not be true. They beat up on three tomato cans and then struggled against two teams that can actually play football. So that's interesting. I think they take care of business against Dallas. And then Buffalo is another paper tiger. They're 4-1. They haven't beaten anybody. And their quarterback cannot help but turn the ball over. There are two quarterbacks in the NFL right now with over 100 attempts and more interceptions than touchdowns. It's Baker Mayfield, who you saw last night, who's struggling like crazy, and Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. They have a really good defense, but they're not going to be able to score with the Eagles. So I would say too easy. I'm actually most worried about the Minnesota game, even though the Dallas game is going to get the most hype.
How about that one? Mike, always great talking to you. Seriously, you break it down like no other. We appreciate you coming on. Michael Kiss from Bleeding Green Nation. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You as well.
I said that to Bob this morning. I think the Minnesota game's the toughest of the three.
It's easy to say that because you're coming off of this Jets game, and I can't help but think this is going to be the type of game that you have to rely on an air attack. And the Eagles right now are not necessarily slinging the football. And if it comes down to a heavyweight bout where both teams are throwing haymakers, I think the Vikings have more haymakers to throw than the Eagles do. That's my biggest concern. Dallas is always tough, divisional game, Dallas, whatever, blah, blah. And then Buffalo is a tough defense, but yeah, like he said, paper tiger is a good way to put it. Yeah, this Vikings game, this is the one that if they win this game, I'm feeling a hell of a lot more confident they go 3-0 on this trip.
Yeah, this could be the one you look back on and go, ooh, that was when they turned the corner.
And it's not just because they'll be 1-0, obviously. It'll be because they beat a pretty damn good team. And if they are going to win it, it's going to be because they just outpunch them.
Yeah, and these NFC games are so important.
I right now, my feeling is on Tuesday, Dalvin Cook's going to be the difference, and I don't like the way I'm thinking.
Man,
I shouldn't say I don't like the way I'm thinking. I don't like the way I'm feeling.
He owns some real estate in your head there, Bobby.
No, I just think he's good. I think he's a really, really good back, and I think that's a way that they're going to look to attack the Eagles. He's going to be a heavy part of it.
Well, here's my thing. If you had this.
Florida State guys, though.
Yeah, you know Florida State, man.
That's right. You know, it's easy to take him out of the game, right?
Outside zone. No, it's not easy to take him out of the game.
Trey, where did you go?
Oh, you know.
You know. By the way, I got to say this real quick. You're the guys you introduced me to at the Mrs. T's Pierogi Tailgate Showdown. What's the Q? What is that?
Megas. The Qs.
They explained to me, like Trey was like, hey, just tell them, tell my man right here, tell Mark about, you know
Atomic Dog. And Malcolm was doing it pregame on Sunday,
He was. I thought against the Panthers 2 years ago, whatever. But yeah, he was doing a pregame. So this guy, Trey was like, hey, tell my man here about Atomic Dog. And the guy was like, oh, well now, okay. And it was like he opened up like a desk.
How much time you got?
Yeah, pretty much. And like a library, like bookshelves appeared behind him. And he was like, well now, son, sit down and listen. And
the P-Funk All-Stars came out of some bus over on the side. You're like, well, they're just ready.
And he gave me like a 20-minute dissertation on Atomic Dog. And I answered with, have you ever seen the movie PCU?
Jeremy Piven?
That's
John Favreau? Are you still really fat?
No, well, he wasn't really fat. He wasn't like really fat. But he was like, he was beefy.
He was beefy.
When it comes to Jon Favreau and PCU. Bob, you ever seen PCU?
Yeah, no. It's a really funny movie.
Trey, have you ever seen PCU?
No.
Oh.
I got to check it out. All right,
I think it still holds up, especially in today's culture.
Totally holds up. Trey.
I think it was actually ahead of its time.
I'm putting it in my notes.
Trey, you know what it was? It was the attempt at another generation's Animal House.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as successful as Old School.
Yeah.
Like, Old School was a better, like, more of our generation's Animal House.
Yes.
And then PCU.
And more a focus on the cultural, like, the political correctness.
Correct. There you go.
Yeah.
You're right.
But because it's politically correct university. So it was, like, kind of ahead of its time, almost, you know?
Yes, it was. No, Trey, if you see this movie.
I'm putting it in my nose. I'll watch it when I get home.
I'll break down this doll 22 on it.
While eating the cake that nobody ate yesterday.
Yeah, give me a slice of cake. And
so let me just say this real quick.
Some milk.
Okay, I think we have a new way of shaming here. And Jamie, I'll leave this up to you to decide.
Okay.
But Bob, our friend Trey, he wanted a cake for our one year anniversary of the show. Cake,
yes, man, he did.
So he tells
you. Everybody likes cake.
He tells EJ.
Doesn't like cake.
He tells EJ, I better be a cake there. PJ is waiting for us. And he's just like, ha ha, cake, funny. And Trey's like, I want a cake.
Yeah, I want a cake.
You better have a cake for me. And EJ's like, okay. So then, like, we see EJ in our post-show meeting yesterday. He's like, I got to go run and get a cake for Trey. And I'm like, oh, damn, he's going to do it. Cool. So he walks in with a cake.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, no one's opening that cake.
It was delicious.
And I was like,
it did look good.
At the end of the night, I was like, Trey, you good to take your cake? He's like, yeah, man, I got two sons, man. I'm taking the cake home.
My kids were ready, man. They were waiting as soon as I got home.
Yes! Cake!
So Trey's going to be eating cake watching PCU today.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Nice little Tuesday.
You know, it'll be some different movie quotes than our Anchorman reel that we roll off every once in a while.
Yeah.
But no, you will thoroughly enjoy
PCU.
PCU.
And the cake.
And the cameo by George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic.
All right.
Joe in West Philly, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, homie.
You know what, man? I mean, about the Eagles offense and the quarterback thing, I think a lot of people want to accuse fans of being Wentz haters. But tell the truth, I think Carson's still a work in progress, man. He's not a finished product, and he's not above scrutiny. I think a lot of people are trying to force him into this elite quarterback class that he's not in yet. And I think Carson, I mean, he's in the same bushes, Prescott, with the kid from Houston. They all in the same suit, man, to tell you the truth, man. And to me, like, you want to say Tom Brady overthrows guys. Of course Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers guys overthrows guys.
Joe, I'm with you. As far as, real quick, just as far as all the stuff goes with Carson Wentz and all the craziness that goes on, like, people just want to put him in that elite status already. I think he will be elite. I just don't think he has been elite yet this year.
He's a work in progress. Yeah. And people want to say, oh, Tom Brady overthrows passes. Of course he does. But Tom Brady orchestrates drive where the ball is out under 2 seconds. The receiver is hitting the numbers. I mean, the ball is thrown over the right shoulders and things like that. And that's what makes you an elite quarterback. And I think until he can prove that, you know, time over time, I mean, that's when you become elite. I mean, you cannot, you know, force that guy into that peg, into that position, until the game shows that. And that's not what he shows right now. And he's young enough. He's definitely young enough to, you know, keep progressing towards that. But, and that's what the Eagles are right now. And I think that's why the running game is so important. I mean, I guess that's why the Eagles are not unleashing 40 passes a game and 35 passes a game. Because that's not going to keep us in the game. You know what I mean? You can overthrow Deshaun. He's not going to catch 50 passes, 50 yard passes every game.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's just about, you got to, you know, you got to be better off with your timing, and you got to be better off with your target, things like that.
No, you're absolutely right, Joe. Thanks for the call, man. I don't think that Carson has asserted himself this year, just this year, of being that elite quarterback. I think he can get there. I'm every bit of confident that he will. But this is a stretch of games. Really, not even these three games. But Bob, you've gone to it before. Then they play a tough defense in the Bears when they come home. Then they play the Patriots. Then they play Seattle.
Yeah,
the next six games. If Carson really wants to go, yeah, I belong in the MVP race, which seems like people are running away with it right now, then this is the time to really assert himself.
Schedule makers are not cool.
Yeah, they're jerks.
I like the last five games are kind of cake, minus the one Dallas game.
Yeah.
This six-game stretch is brutal.
A little bit.
Here's what I think. If you want Carson to be the elite quarterback, you're going to have the defense challenge these receivers in practice. You can't have it where the receivers just get free releases and just get off and get into their routes and everything is always there. Because there was one pass just the other day. I think it was the one pass that Nelly caught. And he threw him the ball. He waited, and then he let it go. And then it was almost like it was behind him, Nelly, where he caught the ball this way and then started running. Where he was right. Running left.
Almost behind
but
him.
But he had to turn behind him. You know, so you need... For Carson to be elite, I think that you're going to have to go back to some old school type training and make the practice secondary, the look squad, actually challenge these receivers to throw off their timing in practice so that you can practice that. Because your first time dealing with that is in the game. And it doesn't look as crisp.
That is true. Where's that look squad been? That's been the bigger issue. It was there last year, and that's when they turned it around, when look squad started looking good.
Yeah.
We were the look squad last year, too.
We were the look squad.
Yeah, we were. I
forgot all about that.
That's where it came from, right?
Dustin tweeted us. Dustin from Willow Grove tweeted it at us.
My picture was sexy. I don't know.
Big sexy.
That was a fun time.
That was a... Oh, what a...
Those were good times.
Way back when.
We were just a couple of kids a year ago starting a radio program. Go figure. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got Robert in South Carolina. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Here's the other thing. Coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear from Doug Peterson's press conference yesterday, what he had to say about divvying up the... carries from the running backs Miles Sanders as well as Jordan Howard fella, and then we'll also I'll tell a brief synopsis of the worst best man speech I have ever heard.
I can't wait.
And I witnessed it on Saturday.
Yeah. But some coolness came out of that.
You mentioned it, though, partner. He likes to slap around the beef.
Oh boy, never look at her the same again.
It's awesome.
Freak.
I witnessed one of the best ever 3 weeks ago and the worst this past weekend. Time of the Fanatic, 924.
Feel you.
Oh, you jerk. 924.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, coming up, we're going to give away a pair of Temple tickets, but I got to tell the story again by popular demand. For those that missed it, we've been referencing it since I told it originally at, 7:20 this morning?
Uh-huh.
I can't wait.
So, I've been going to a slew of weddings recently. 3 weekends in a row, wedding. All right? I got to go to another wedding in a couple of weeks. My wedding run here started with one of the best man speeches I ever had or I ever saw, consisting of my buddy Brian Goodwin, Goody, we call him. He iced every table at a wedding I was at while doing his best man speech, because they would do that when they were in college, and he had somebody go around before his speech, before people flooded into the reception hall, and he taped one Smirnoff Ice in front of one seat at each table. So while he was talking about it in his speech, he goes, and if you would all reach under your tables right now, you might feel a Smirnoff Ice, and we're going to ice you. And sure enough, every table, somebody had to drop down to one knee and drink the Smirnoff Ice. That's a little thing called icing. Trey, we told you about it earlier. Yeah. Maybe in the near future, we'll ice you. I don't know. Do you enjoy Smirnoff Ice?
It pours, right?
So, easy qualification.
Yeah.
So that was one of the best. It was a great speech overall. So then I go to my cousin's wedding, my cousin Tim. Now, here's the dynamic that I have to make sure people understand. Tim's best man, his best friend, is also married to his sister, my cousin Tim's little sister, my cousin Valerie. So he's married to, he's the brother-in-law also of the groom, aside from just the best man. So this man calls me over before his speech. I didn't know he was doing speeches, so this was a little weird.
Right.
Because this was after dinner. If you've been to a wedding, usually the speeches are before dinner.
Usually it's to allow them to partake in alcohol as much as they want after the speech.
So they're not hammered during.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So funny you say that, Jamie. Because here I am with my little cup of coffee at this point in the night, walking back after dinner to my seat, and the best man calls me over. And he says, Mark, hey, come here, I haven't seen you. And right away, I'm like, oh, damn, he drunk. He good old drunk right now. And he's like, let's see. I'm like, great, man, great to see you. Things good, kids good, great, okay, cool. And I sit down, I lean over to my one cousin, I go, damn, he's hammered. And then sure enough, I hear the clanging of the glass, like people trying to get attention and all that stuff. And it wasn't like so the bride and groom kiss. It was to get people's attention. So then the maid of honor stands up and she does her speech. And I go, oh, no. If she's talking, then that means he's talking.
Uh-oh.
So she does a very nice speech, very beautiful, very nice. 2 minutes, done. Sits down. Then the best man gets up. And I'm just bracing myself because he is hammered. And here's one thing I didn't tell you earlier. He referenced right out of the gate gonads.
Not a strong start.
Not a strong start.
He's drunk, but there he goes.
And then he shifted to...
Wait, whoa. What's gonads?
Gonads, like your gonads. Your
testicles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Plums.
Yeah.
Oh, your plums. Your plums.
We referenced them enough.
Okay.
So
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
The, how many more synonyms can we come up with?
I think you're good.
Okay. All right, we got it. All right.
I think point made. I think plums is really what sold it for Trent. So it basically, if you were to Google, and I know some people do this that especially hate public speaking, but if they have to do a toast at a wedding, they'll Google how to do a toast, like the best way to go about it. So if you Googled it, and you saw all the things you're supposed to do, it was like this guy did the opposite. So he was way too drunk. All right? That's the starter. One of the other things is you don't talk about past experiences of the groom.
No. I wouldn't assume so.
And the number one thing to do is tell the bride how beautiful she is. He didn't do that till minute 12 of the speech.
Ooh.
It was like the last thing he did. All right.
By the way, you're hot. I do you. Is that like something like that?
Yeah. But he referenced gonads, and then he began to talk about the roster.
I'm cringing just when you say that.
Yeah. Now, obviously, if you don't know what I mean by the roster, let's just say past experiences of the groom. All right. And he didn't like name the roster of a basketball
team. Having the time of his life.
He didn't talk about just the groom's like starting five roster.
He went deep training camp roster.
He went deep 90, as you pointed out, like 90 man roster. Wow. Excuse me, 90 woman roster. Yeah. All right. He went through the whole roster. And the groom, the bride's sitting right there. There's kids in the room, the whole thing. And when we knew it got really bad was when, again, this is the brother-in-law of the groom. He's married to my other cousin, my younger cousin.
What's her name?
That's we're good. No. Oops. And
good try, Bob. I did. I respect that.
I tried to slip it in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how they got in this situation.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
He proceeds to say, and even though I know you're married now, you know, I'm sure we'll still tell each other everything aside from me telling you what a freak your sister is in the sack.
Mm. Oh,
that was said during the best man speech, where this guy was hammered, talked for 12 minutes,
in front of,
shared the roster, and said my other little cousin was a freak in the sack.
So to the, okay, yeah, all right, so in front of the dad, in front of the parent, the children.
My mom's one of 12! All 11 brothers and sisters were there! Wow. They all heard it!
She has a brother?
Who?
She has,
the girl?
Yeah, the freak.
You jerks. I will not, I don't know who you're talking about. You're talking about the freak. Who are you talking about? I don't know who you're talking about. Are you guys talking about Javon Curse again? Yeah, Javon Curse.
I mentioned it, though, partner. He likes to slap around the beef.
Why are you a horrible person, Jamie? Why are you being a horrible person? But we have this situation where the whole family's in the room, 150 people.
We scratch and claw for every...
Yeah. What the hell was... Did you find a new drop just so I tell the story again?
Scratch and claw for...
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad it's not working. You can go to hell. How about that? That's God on my side, you jerk.
She's presenting beautifully.
So anyway, he says this whole thing.
And her father was standing right there.
Her father was seated right in front of the guy giving the speech.
Sex freak's father.
Yeah. And during the speech, at that point, when he mentioned what a freak, you know, my other little cousin is in the sack, my other aunt, not, you know, just the aunt of, you know, the girl, starts shouting, "All right, you can sit down. You sit down. Take the mic away."
Oh, really?
Which made it even more awkward. So now, as protective older cousins, we're sitting there and we were watching our uncle to see if he made a move to kill this guy. And if he did, then we'd have his back. But he was kind
of
like...
get rid of the body.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, yeah, come on. There's plenty of sand dudes. Whatever. It was out of state. It was in Maryland.
But his wife was gone.
My cousin, who there. He was talking about,
freak.
I think gone. Left.
Do you think she knew the freak line was in it, and that's why she left?
Possibly.
She excused herself.
Did she have another date?
Did she need to go use a toy?
Did she have
real
dance
quick?
Parties?
Hey,
for
hey all right. I'll say this: if you're going to go there,
when's the next family reunion? Me and Trey want
to
go.
Did she need to work something
out? Me,
Trey, you know.
I'll say this: you animals.
Halfway point in the thing, and like, look, I need to go excuse myself for a little bit.
Let me say this: you animals,
some things I need to take care of.
She's a good woman. If she is a freak,
I don't doubt that.
Some may say great woman
of Cox.
What it do, baby?
I hate all of you.
You brought this upon yourself.
Can I just say...
It was so dumb to trust us.
If you... If she was a freak, she's a monogamous freak. Okay, you jerks?
Okay.
Don't you be involving polygamy.
Well, we don't know what all has been going on here now, you know?
We might have to book this guy.
Yeah.
see what he actually means by definition.
But
a freak.
Here's the other thing. He also... This was not off the cuff. He wrote out five full pages of this speech. Thought beforehand this was a good idea, read it drunk, and said every word of it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome that he wrote this out. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Your sister's a freak.
God, I hate
in
you.
The sack.
I hate you so much. Mitch in East Windsor, what's going on, Mitch?
What's happening, Mark? You talking about Donald Trump's speeches, or you say you're...
All right, no, don't turn it. Don't make it political here. There's no reason to be political.
I'm just been trying to be funny. You know my man. Hey, this is gonna be a good game. I wish they could flex it, make it a 8 o'clock Sunday night. Maybe you still do Sunday night games, right, Mr. World Traveler?
No, I am. Ever since I started full time at NBC, I've been here in Philadelphia for Eagles games.
All right, and maybe this has been married too. It's just a coincidence, right?
Anyway, yeah, actually, it is. Yes,
that would have been a good Sunday night game, but it's gonna be a tough game. I think it's gonna be the toughest stretch because they're running backs. The Eagles don't match up to, and especially their wide receivers.
Mitch, but here's the thing. You do have a better Sunday night matchup with Eagles-Cowboys the following week.
I'm sick of the Cowboys. Let that be a 1 o'clock game.
I don't think most people agree with you, Mitch. Most people care about the Cowboys.
All right. What, in Philadelphia? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, especially in Philadelphia.
Well, they're fair weather fans.
All right, how are they doing over the next three games, Mitchie Poo?
Mitchell. Well, they win this game. Yeah, I didn't Mitchell. Even go at least 2-1.
There you go.
This is the toughest one.
All right, thanks, Mitch.
Hey, have a nice one.
You're my man. I appreciate it. Yeah,
Trey, you don't know the Mitchie Poo reference, yeah. Trey?
How do you go, Mitchie Poo?
Mitchie Poo. Mitch's been called. Yeah, he's been called Mitch. This
he's been called Mitchie Poo before.
Mitch Williams used to get called Mitchie Poo by Harry Chalice.
Man, delicious. I mean, what are you doing here? Mitchie Poo?
I don't know if it's on the same.
Maybe Mark's level. A little bit of a freak too.
Yeah, I mean, Mark.
It runs in the family.
Yeah,
Farzetta freaks.
Well, oh no, this isn't the Farzetta side.
Had 12 kids.
I should stress because the Farzetta family is the Philadelphia area. My mom's family is the Baltimore area, so nobody knows my mom's family.
Well,
nobody
that makes sense. That Maryland's a bunch of freaks.
Yeah, maybe. So, but anyway, hey, Bob, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm a freak. Emmanuel didn't make herself.
No, she did not. And then you already got the little sex swing down there in the basement.
Yeah, you do have an outdoor shower. You have a porno shower upstairs, and you have a sex swing in the basement.
Was it Amityville Horror where the guy turns into the bad guy because he lives amongst the ghosts? Mm. Maybe I turn into a freak amongst my freaky ghosts in my house. Mm. Maybe that's what happens.
They've corrupted you.
Maybe.
Flips and paddles. I don't know. It just sounds weird. This could be a little weird.
Ball gag.
What's
your cousin's name?
Hank.
Little feathers. Tickle feathers.
What was the other thing you mentioned? Clamps?
Yeah, little clamps.
You're a weirdo.
Clips.
All right. I can only imagine what all the takeaways of the day are going to be today. Time of the Fanatic, 9:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Don't forget, today's show takeover is brought to you by Mrs. T's Pierogies, the official unofficial pierogi of National Pierogi Day. And did you know, Trey, today's National Pierogi Day? That is National Pierogi Day.
Yes, it is National Pierogi Day.
I really want some pierogies now.
I crushed pierogi at, Trey had the idea yesterday of making a pierogi hoagie.
Ooh. It's a lot of starch, but I'm in.
No, starch is my
pahogie.
A pahogie. Yes,
I like that.
Yeah, it sounds like a po' boy, but of pierogi.
I'm in.
I'll have one. Toast that. Yes, please, and thank you. Some caramelized onions, some crispy pierogi, fried up real nice.
Throw some bacon in there just for fun.
Yeah, oh yeah, I put bacon.
Because you can put bacon in anything.
Yes, bacon in my cereal.
Yes, you can.
Of course.
Yeah, why not?
That was trademarked by Trey Thomas. You know anybody?
In a couple of minutes, we'll let you know. In a couple of minutes, we're going to let you know how you can win some Temple football tickets to take on Memphis this Saturday, October 12th at 12 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. Don't miss Temple homecoming festivities at the game. Kids tickets on game days are just $10. Visit OwlsTix.com.
You making the homecoming appearance?
Homecoming this weekend?
I got to,
Mark?
Yeah, I will not, unfortunately.
What?
I know.
What kind of alum are you?
Most famous worst. Alum, and he's not even going to show. It used to be Bill Cosby. Now it's you.
Slightly Bob Saget.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's Kevin Negondi, you jerks.
Do you guys even watch sports? Kevin Negondi.
Tim and Eric.
I only listen to sports.
So what time is the game?
Yeah, it's noon. Yeah, no, it's
I'm
noon.
Pretty sure it is noon.
I just read noon.
Yes, it's at noon. Yeah, it's at noon.
But your boy Diplo, can't forget about him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, what's up? Yeah, you know, he comes home and rocks it every once in a while. Not like Hall & Oates or nothing, but you know, whatever.
They actually do have a pretty impressive famous clientele.
Hall & Oates. You're welcome, America, for Temple University. Sam, let's put a ball on our Twitter poll brought to you by the wonderful people of
Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, what will the Eagles record be over the next three games? We had just under 2,200 votes. 69%. We did it!
Nice!
Yes! We did it!
Oh my goodness! Nice.
They said 2-1.
I love my little dudes.
How fitting on our birthday.
That does seem right.
It just feels right. It feels right.
Smells right.
What a year. Yes. What a year, folks. What a year.
If it didn't smell right, you'd have a real problem.
Oh, good God. All right. Now, right at the end of our takeaways of the day, we'll let you know how you could be the fifth caller to win a pair of Temple tickets. We'll let you know the number to call in just a second. But let's jump on in to our takeaways of the day.
My takeaway is happy birthday to us, guys.
Yes, happy birthday.
And thank you to all of our listeners, because you guys rock, even though you think we're cool and weird and hate some of us.
Even though you don't like it.
That was all right. Thank you.
That was from the heart.
Roller coaster of emotions there.
Off the cuff. Jamie Litch.
I was going to say something like warm and fuzzy about the 1 year anniversary, but yeah. I don't think anybody cares. Yeah. Mark, yeah. I think the ghosts in your family, ghosts in your house and your cousins in your family have made you a closeted freak as well.
It's quite possible.
I have to talk to Celeste about this.
What do they say?
What's really going on.
Let your freak flag fly.
I believe it's the expression. We don't freak shame here on.
Not
in 2019.
No, full acceptance.
I believe we freak encourage from the sounds of this
show.
Damn
right.
Bob Cooney, take away.
I want to thank Celeste Farzetta for sharing her little baby with me last night. So, Emanuela and I.
It's not yours, Mark. Apparently, it's only Celeste.
Emanuela and I had a good time. Yes. Making the rounds at PJ Wellahan's.
We failed.
And to all my friends out there that saw a picture, whoever posted, no, I do not have another child. Wait, is Mark's child.
Is the picture out there?
Yeah, my buddies took a picture of our high school buddies, and I'm in the front holding Emanuela.
Bob's like, I'm taking your baby for the picture.
Okay. So all these people are commenting, another kid for Cooney?
Yeah. Trey Thomas, take away the day.
So the cousin.
You jerk. You scumbag.
Just trying to figure it out, man. Trying to get to the bottom of it.
Give us the Instagram handle.
What kind of stuff
I don't
into?
Think she's on Instagram, you jerks. And guess what? She's not a Farzetta.
She's like 25.
She's
got to be.
She's a what?
Oh,
she's not a Farzetta.
What's her last name?
You'll never find her.
What's the last name?
Good luck. All right. Young. Flexible.
Oh, what the hell, man?
Eleanor is listening to this.
Dude, you want Eleanor coming at you?
That's her niece.
I'll tell you what. You tell me Simeon Rice all you want. You never won against Eleanor Farzetta. Tell you that much. All right. My takeaway of the day is, again, a sincere thank you to all the people that have helped make our show a very fast-growing audience, and we appreciate that greatly here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.